My name is Kyle Shirley. I'm the Youth and Kids Director here at Redeemer. So I'm the person to talk to if you want to volunteer for VBS. That's me. Please talk to me. It'll be a good week. So if you don't know me, or if you know me, there's something that you should learn about me, and that is the fact that I despise being told what to do. It's one of my least favorite things on this earth. When somebody tells me to do something or says, Kyle, I would like you to do this, I oftentimes want to do the complete opposite because I just hate it so much. I like to do my own thing. I like to make my own choices. I really value that idea of freedom, this idea that I am free to make my own choices, whether they be good ones or more often than not bad ones. That is something that I personally really value. And I think that's something that we all value in one way or another is this idea of freedom. The idea that we get to make our own choices, that we get to do what we want in one way or another, whether that be good or bad. I think most people in this room all value this idea of freedom. We as a country also really value this idea of freedom and personal choice and personal independence. But when our view of freedom gets warped, when our view of freedom isn't the view of freedom that aligns with the gospel and that aligns with scripture, it can lead to a form of self-worship. And we can begin to put ourselves above the place of God when we start to have this warped view of freedom. So what we're going to see today is how the Bible talks about freedom. We're going to see what freedom is, what freedom isn't, and how to live freely. So please open up to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And we're going to see that through Christ, we are set free to love God and others. Through Christ, we are set free to love God and others. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the chance to come together, to worship you, to sing songs to you, and for the chance to open up your word. I pray that as we go through it today, as we study it, that you'd be able to teach us, that you'd be able to encourage us, and that you would empower us to follow you. Pray all these things in your name. Amen. So, a little context before we start diving into this passage in Galatians. Galatians is a book of the Bible in the New Testament, and it is written by Paul to the church in Galatia. And the main problem that's going on in this church is you have a bunch of people telling the Christians there that they have to follow these certain laws and certain rules in Judaism for them to be converted. That if they have a true conversion, they have to follow certain laws and regulations in the Jewish tradition. And Paul is writing to them, explaining to them that this is not the case. And what they need to do to believe in Jesus is to believe in him. So we're going to see what freedom is, what freedom isn't, and how to live freely. Before we talk about what Paul is saying here about what freedom is, we need to define this word, freedom. How I'm defining freedom today is freedom is being released from bondage of sin and legalism through the work of Jesus. So freedom is being released from the bondage of sin and legalism through the work of Jesus. We're going to break that down a little bit more. Firstly, freedom is being freed from sin. Freed from sin. We see throughout Scripture that sin is described as something that enslaves us. The Apostle Paul uses this language a lot, as sin being something that is an enslaving thing. You are bound up by sin. Paul even describes sin in this way earlier in the book of Galatians. In Galatians 4, chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, It says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. How can you turn back to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? Paul describes sin as being something that enslaves us. When we are not following God, when we are not following his commands, we get caught up in this bondage of sin. Our sins, our shortcomings enslave us. If you have struggled with sin before, and I have, and I think a lot of people in here have, at least I know that a lot of people in here have, I think you know what this feeling is like. When you keep on falling into those same pitfalls, those same mistakes, those same sins over and over again, we are enslaved to sin. And not only does sin enslave us, but we see that sin separates us from God. In Ephesians 4:18, it says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. There's a problem here. Our sin not only enslaves us to it, but our sin also separates us from our Creator. The God that created us, the God that loves us, the God that gives us goodness in life, it separates us from Him. And because of our sin, and because God is a perfect God, we are deserving of hell and damnation. And this is a problem. But the story doesn't end there. It doesn't just end with us being enslaved to sin. It doesn't just end with us being separated from God. We see that Jesus came down and lived a perfect life that we couldn't live and died for us so that we could be freed from sin. We see in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came down and was willing to live a perfect life and die on our behalf so that we can be freed from sin. No longer do we have to be enslaved to sin. No longer do we have to keep falling into those same sins that we've been struggling with. No longer are we separated from God, but rather because of what Jesus did, if we believe in him, we get to be united with our Creator and we have the promise of spending eternity with him. So we see that not only does Jesus free us from sin, but we also see that Jesus frees us from legalism. Now, what is legalism? Legalism, as I've defined it, is trying to prove your righteousness to God or others through our works. Legalism is trying to prove your righteousness to God or others through works. Legalism is this idea that I am going to fix my relationship with God, that I'm going to prove how worthy and how righteous I am to God through my good deeds and through my actions. But we know that this is not what makes us right before God. What makes us right before God is the work of Jesus. And we see that this is a common problem in the first century with the Pharisees. Jesus, when talking about the Pharisees, says this in Matthew 23. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. This is a common problem in the first century. It's even a common problem that you and I face today. This idea that maybe if I do a little bit more, God will be pleased and happy with me. Maybe if I read my Bible more, maybe if I pray more, I can make myself have a right standing before God. But that is not how we are made right before God. We are only made righteous through the work of Jesus. In fact, Christ says that you are made righteous from the moment of salvation and into eternity. In Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. When we believe in Jesus, from that moment on until the end of our lives and into eternity, when God looks at us, he no longer sees us as a sinner. We are no longer separated from him, but rather we are declared righteous. Christ's righteousness is lavished, put upon us. And no longer do we have to try and work to earn our salvation. No longer do we have to try and work to make ourselves right before God. But instead, Jesus frees us from that and frees us from the bondage of sin and legalism. And we are made Christ or God's sons and daughters. We are united with Christ. We are declared righteous through the work of Jesus. And that is what freedom is. And we see that through Christ, we are set free to love God and others. So that's what freedom is. Now, let's take a look at what freedom is not. Because like I said earlier, when we have a warped view of freedom, it can lead to our own self-worship. So that's what freedom is. This is what freedom isn't. Freedom is not freedom to sin. We see this in our passage today in Galatians 5:13. You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. See, our freedom is not to continue in our sins. But a lot of times, I myself use this as an excuse to keep on sinning. A lot of times when I'm tempted, I'll fall short and I'll think to myself, well, you know, God will just forgive me. I've thought that plenty of times in my life. Jesus, he'll just forgive me. So I'm just going to go and do this sin and fall into this way of the flesh. And that's exactly what Paul is saying not to do here. He's saying this freedom is not an opportunity for the flesh. It's not an opportunity to go and sin and Christ will just forgive you. It's not an opportunity to continue in the habits of sinning. It's not an opportunity to go and try out new sins because Jesus will just forgive me. Instead, it is an opportunity or is a freedom to love God and others. It is not a freedom to sin. It's not an excuse to not try and draw near to God. That is not what this freedom is. This freedom also, and I think that this is a more countercultural idea, is not a freedom from authority. That's the type of freedom I like, that freedom from authority. When my, you know, dad, it's Father's Day, tells me to mow the lawn, and I'm like, you can't tell me what to do, I'm 24. That's not the freedom that we get in Christ. We do not get freedom from authority. We actually see that we get the opposite in Romans. In Romans 6, we see Paul describe this freedom as being a slave to righteousness. That's how Paul describes this freedom in Romans 6. He's setting up this argument in Romans 6, where he says that you are a slave or a servant to two things. You are either a slave or a servant to sin, or you are a slave or servant to righteousness. And freedom in Christ is being a slave to righteousness. See this in Romans 6, verse 17 through 18. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. This is a very paradoxical idea, this idea of being set free from sin to being a slave to righteousness. But when we are a servant, when we are bound in sin, this leads to destruction. It leads to death. We even see in Romans when Paul says the wages of sin is death. When you are a servant to sin, your wages, what you earn, is your own demise. But when we are a servant to Christ, when we are a slave to Christ, when we are a slave to righteousness, it leads to our life. A slave to sin leads to death, but when we are free from that and we are a slave to Christ, it leads to our life. So we see what freedom is, what freedom isn't, so how do we live freely? We see that to live freely, we are free to love God and we are free to love others. We see that we are made free to love God. When we are living freely, when Christ redeems us, our heart of stone is melted and we are now free to choose to follow God daily. We see this in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. When we are free from the slavery of sin, when we are freed from sin, we are now free to follow God. We are given this choice daily to follow God, to obey his commands. And that is where we find freedom, is in following God. We also see that we are not only free to just follow God, but we are also made free to love others. We see this in our passage. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. We have been made free to love others because Christ has first loved us. Now we can extend that same love to others. And we are free to choose to live in the Spirit. See, after Paul finishes this passage in Galatians, he goes on to a very famous, well-known passage in the Bible, or a section of Scripture, known as the fruits of the Spirit. We are free to live in the Spirit, and Paul tells us exactly how not to live in the Spirit and how to live in the Spirit in Galatians 5:19 through 24. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Naturally, I think we want to follow the flesh. I know I do. I read some of these things that Paul says are works of the flesh, and I'm like, I'm pretty good about some of these. Like, I'm not doing a lot of sorcery to my knowledge. But fits of anger, that happens to me a lot. And I'm sure that everybody in this room, you read some of these and you're like me, where you're like, well, those I'm pretty good at, but some of these, I fall into those a lot. And I think naturally, that's what we want to do, is follow our flesh. But we see that freedom in Christ, as Paul describes it here, is living in the Spirit, being loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and having self-control. That's where freedom is found, in loving God and in loving others. Because through Christ, we are set free to love God and others. So wrapping it all up, how can we take this away? How can we look at this passage and what's our example to follow? What should we do as we walk out the door this Sunday morning and go out into the world? Firstly, my challenge is to find freedom in Christ. If you do not know Jesus yet, if you would not call yourself a Christian, I urge you, find this freedom in Christ. He is calling for you. He loves you. Pray about it. Meditate on it. Ask him into your heart. If you are a believer, remember your freedom in Christ. As we are going through life, remember who you are. Remember that you are made free in Jesus. When you're dealing with doubts, when you're dealing with issues of sin, when you're dealing with issues of legalism, remember who you are. Remember that you are not a servant to sin, but through the work of Jesus, you are now a servant of righteousness. Remember your freedom. And secondly, I urge you to align your will with God's will, because that is where true freedom is. How do we do that? We do that by meditating on his word, reading it, spending time in it, spending time with God in our devotional lives, spending time in community here, and being transformed by his word. Paul in Romans 12 explains this when he says, be transformed by God's word so that your will could be aligned with his. And when we are meditating on the word, when we are spending time in prayer, when we are trying to align our will with God's will, we can also do that by growing in the fruits of the Spirit. As we read this list in Galatians 5, we can think to ourselves, which of these am I struggling with? Which of these do I need God's help in improving on? If you're like me, I read all of these and I'm like, I'm not doing too hot. I need some help here, Jesus. But I encourage you to find freedom in Christ and to align your will with God's. And remember that through Christ, we are set free to love God and others. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the book of Galatians and for what you were able to do in the Apostle Paul. We pray that as we go out with our lives, that we would find freedom in you, that we would recognize that freedom is only found in you. And we pray that as you set us free, that we would use our freedom to love you and to love one another. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.